The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We want you to connect with us at Twitter, at eRadioSports, and you can always email the show at elissa@yahoosportsradio.com. It is time now to focus our attention on the wonderful world of the NBA, and good news for the Oklahoma City Thunder with the return of KD and Russell Westbrook. And although the Thunder's record currently stands at 5-13, the forecast is now very bright. The Thunder, they've got their stars back, they've got plenty of time to make the postseason in the loaded Western Conference. And all I can say is that the payoff, it may not be immediate, but it's going to happen. It's just going to take some time to get these guys into rhythm and into sync. Always a pleasure to welcome back one of our very favorite guests, Basketball Hall of Famer and the analyst with the Oklahoma City Thunder on Thunder Live. That is Nancy Lieberman. She is joining us on the Stuart Cadillac guest line. Stuart Cadillac, real people, real value, real simple. Good evening, Nancy. It's nice to have you with us on this Friday night.
It is a pleasure to always talk to you. You're fantastic.
Oh, blessings to you. Well, Nancy, I think in order for our listeners to fully understand why the Thunder have a 5-13 record, you really have to step back and start at the beginning. I mean, this is a team that has been decimated with injuries, and head coach Scott Brooks, I mean, he said earlier in the year that he's never seen anything like this in all of his years in the NBA. They really have had to adjust and adapt to a ton of adversity. How do you think they responded?
I think they have played so much better than their record. They were in, you know, there's only been two or three games that they have not been at a place at the end of the game where they maybe had a chance to win or take it to overtime. I give them so much credit because so many of those players went to a totally different level. Anthony Morrow, Jeremy Lamb, you know, Reggie Jackson, guys, Stephen Adams, everybody has played a role, including Kendrick Perkins. So everybody did what they were supposed to do to help this team.
You know, the Thunder, Nancy, had to cope with so many injuries and recalibrate their approach on many different levels. But I would say that it really was a blessing because so many of these younger guys, they had the opportunity to get extra reps in and to grow up and even mature more.
It was really fantastic to see what Anthony Morrow and Jeremy Lamb, Reggie Jackson, Stephen Adams, everybody that had a chance to get up on the court gave something and developed their game, their confidence to a different level. And that's something as a coach, and I know Coach Brooks has mentioned this, he really appreciates everybody having a willingness to play the role that was asked of them while, you know, they were recovering from all the injuries with, you know, most importantly with KD and Russell. So You look at 5-13 and you go, oh my goodness, they have a bad record. They made so much improvement internally, which will help them as they fight for the playoffs.
Basketball Hall of Famer and analyst with the Oklahoma City Thunder, Nancy Lieberman, joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. And as you rattle off so many of those names of the youth within the OKC team, who do you think in your mind stepped up the most in the absence of KD and Russell?
Reggie Jackson, to me, was absolutely phenomenal. His numbers, when he was playing, I think he played seven games of 40-plus minutes. He had all-star numbers. Not that he'll get elected to the all-star team, but his numbers were that of some of the elite players in the league at his position. And the thing that I like most about Reggie is that he has a willingness to play whatever role this team needs in their quest to be better each and every day. But, you know, Scott Brooks doesn't get enough credit. I know he's a staple with this organization, but the way he handles himself, he is one of the most positive, centered people I have ever seen. He takes responsibility when he has to. He'll tell you what he thinks as far as what they have to get better at, whether it's coaching or players. But that's why the Thunder organization has been remarkable, because of that total philosophy that Sam Presti has filtered down through the organization.
Scott Brooks has absolutely been very, very steady. And I want to talk some more about Reggie Jackson, because when you reflect back in his first season with the Thunder, he saw limited time, but he continues to flourish under head coach Scott Brooks, his system. How will he readapt to his role now and his challenge now coming off the bench?
Well, I watched him the first game when Russell was back, and he seemed to me he was a little bit more of a facilitator. But, you know, Reggie has a unique skill set. You cannot stop him at the rim. He's developed a very steady outside shot beyond three. Now guys have to press up on him on the perimeter, which gives him his driving, you know, lanes and gaps. Every year I've seen something else. He can finish with his right hand, his left hand. He's a great rebounding guard. Reggie's been really, really important to this basketball team, and the fact that he's so adaptable and working harder on the defensive end, I might add.
Well, and I will say, too, so many of these guys being put into this type of situation, they had to learn to respond to pressure and how to win games in the fourth, right?
Well, when you put yourself in a position to win, and the Thunder have done that with their defense, I mean, they have one of the best defenses in the NBA, and you have, you know, two guys at the front of the rim in Ibaka and Steven Adams that can chain shots, block shots, which is a blessing on the perimeter for anybody who's chasing those fast guards. So their defense will always keep you in games. The low scoring at the beginning, you know, they were somewhere between 29 or 30th in the league in scoring. Crazy for me to say they were only scoring 89 or 91 points. But I will say this, it took possessions away from some of the high-powered offensive teams, and they just went after it possession by possession and tried to get better, which they did. And I said this on air many times. A lot of guys say they want that last shot to win or lose, but they don't. Reggie Jackson was willing to put everything on the line, his reputation, and take those shots, whether he made them or missed them. That, to me, said a lot about him.
What were your takeaways from the game on Tuesday night against New Orleans? Of course, KD returns. We're going to talk about that here in just a moment. But you were talking about that defensively, the Thunder are one of the better teams in the league. Did you have some concerns because they did allow 29 points in the first quarter and 40 in the second? They had to tighten things up.
Well, they did. I mean, they turned it around in the third quarter, which is what brought them back. I mean, very uncharacteristic of, you know, the Thunder to give up 40 points in a quarter. And those were easy points, and a lot of them came off turnovers, which led to the Pelicans are, you know, an up-and-down team, and they want to get in the open court. So the turnovers that were happening were, you know, high in the quarter court where it's a steal, it's a score. And all of a sudden now, you know, they're coming at you, and you're trying to slow it up, so you take quick shots and outside shots instead of pounding the ball inside, running some high percentage, you know, sets, and that's how that dreaded Uncle Mo gets into your family. Yeah. Uncle Momentum, and yeah, the Pelicans got Uncle Momentum, and they just rode it. But the third quarter was totally different, and that's Scott and Rex and Robert Pack, the coaching staff, making adjustments.
Okay, we're hooping it up, talking some NBA with Basketball Hall of Famer and the analyst with the Oklahoma City Thunder on Thunder Live, Nancy Lieberman, tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are going to step aside for a quick commercial break. We'll be rejoined and much, much more talking NBA. Hey, it is Friday night. We are so glad you're with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We want you to connect with us at Twitter, at E-Radio Sports. Of course, you can go in and listen to us anywhere at yahoosportsradio.com. I think what's really nice right now for the Oklahoma City Thunder, of course, tonight they're on the road in Philly. That game is actually already underway. But the layout of their schedule, they got the 76ers tonight, and then what, Detroit, and then the Milwaukee Bucks.
It's interesting. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They have a schedule where they have to get out after it and win some of these games. And you have to win the games that you have to win, and quite frankly, you got to win them all. And I'm not saying they're going to win 100%, but there's not a big margin of error. So you have to be able to beat the Sixers tonight. You have to be able to start winning some of those close games. And I really believe that they will. And they're going to be a witch to have to play if they're the eighth seed. Nobody's going to want to play the Thunder, I'm telling you.
So what is your confidence level right now when you're projecting how the Thunder will finish? Have you had to modify, Nancy, your position and your belief?
Well, modify only because you have to look at the schedule. You know, I think to get into the playoffs in the West, you're going to have to be a minimum of a 50-win team in that eighth spot. The West is just ridiculously talented.
Mm-hmm.
And then teams like Sacramento and the Pelicans and the Phoenix Suns have emerged quicker than I think a lot of people thought. So they're in that hunt for that, you know, 8th, 7th, 6th spot. And then you have the incumbents who have been the Thunder. So now the Thunder are playing, you know, my goodness. I mean, you know, you're playing against 12 or 13 teams for 8 spots. Can they do it? Yes. Is it going to be exciting? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But with Russell and Ibaka and KD, you're going to have closers at the end of the game, and everybody's going to be better for it.
Okay, the Oklahoma City Thunder right now with this 5-13 record. What is your timetable, Nancy, on how long it will take to right the ship?
It has to start tonight against the Sixers.
Okay.
You hate to say there's must wins. It's a must win. You don't want to be the team that looks at the schedule and goes, oh, my gosh, I cannot believe we lost to the Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they just broke their 17-game losing streak against the Wolves. So they're going to have a little bit more swag and confidence. I know it sounds crazy, you know, 1-17, but that's a big moment for them. And they're a really good team, and they work hard. So I suspect that they're going to come, you know, their guns a-blazing and play hard against the Thunder.
Basketball Hall of Famer, the analyst with the Oklahoma City Thunder, always a pleasure. Nancy Lieberman is joining us tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. And when you look at the schedule, 65 games left in the regular season. The Thunder currently stand at 5-13. We've talked about it many times. You got KD Russell back in the mix. What was your impression of KD when he returned on Tuesday night against New Orleans?
Well, two things. I thought that both KD and Russell compliments to the training staff and the conditioner, you know, Dwight and all those guys who put their players through the paces. They were in unbelievable shape.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, KD played, I think, 30, 31 minutes. And he didn't really look like he was tired. Russell was just, you know, absolutely ridiculously amazing. When he had, 32 points and 8 assists and 7 rebounds, something like that. Something that nobody's ever done in the history of the NBA in 24 minutes. So they work really hard. KD looks fantastic. You could see he's gotten in the weight room in the off season. He's bigger than he's ever been, bigger, stronger. So it's interesting to see that dynamic, but it has to happen right now.
KD, of course, had 27 points in 30 minutes. How many minutes per game do you think that he should have? And what are, Nancy, as an analyst, I mean, what are the things that you'll be continuing to watch for in KD's return?
Oh, you know, I don't think I really have a say in how many minutes he should be. You know, that's a coaching staff thing. Only they know how his foot feels and what he's communicating to them. But, you know, I was surprised he got 30 minutes, but Coach Brooks said that's what the doctors, you know, they go into this systematically, and that's their job to understand what he can do and he can't do, and it was beautifully laid out. You know, I think that I'd like to see KD add the post-up game to his repertoire this year.
Mm-hmm.
And continue to work on lowering himself when he handles the basketball, especially at the top of the key, because sometimes, you know, he has that high dribble. And if he stays up, the ball takes time to get to him, and sometimes he gets picked, and it's a layup. And so I think he really has to work on pounding the dribble a little bit more from the top or getting lower and protecting it.
Okay, Nancy Lieberman with us. Just a few more minutes at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. We highlight and talk about KD, Russell Westbrook, just how he responded when his first game back was just absolutely something special in his return against the Knicks.
I'm such a Russell Westbrook fan, homer, even as an objective coach or television person. I've said this over the last two or three years. There's nobody in the history of the NBA who has had Russell Westbrook's skill set. He's strong. He's forceful. He comes at you. He's got the most beautiful pull-up jump shot. He can shoot it from three, and he's got a mid-range game, which is a lost art in the NBA. It's absolutely breathtaking. You know, he can post you up. He uses the backboard. That sounds like Tim Duncan old school mm-hmm. stuff. He starts his own engine. You don't have to beg Russell to play hard. He just plays hard, and I believe that the team takes on his personality, whether KD's on the court or not. You know, when Russell is, being the Ferrari, everybody else follows.
Well, he's got that edge, that nasty, that moxie. You gotta love that. He is so much fun, such a dynamic player, and so fun to watch. I tell you, the NBA, it's loaded with so many, Nancy, exceptional players. I just want to get your thoughts on the up-and-comers. Anthony Davis, I mean, what is your impressions of him and just his contributions to the league? Because he has been sensational.
I believe Anthony Davis right now is the front-runner for the MVP with Steph Curry. I mean, the league is in amazing hands. I mean, we're starting to say that, LeBron James is old at 29. and we're already grandfathering Dwayne Wade out uh-huh. at some point. And he's still, fantastic, even though he's overcome injuries. But, the Currys, the Klay Thompsons, the Reggie Jacksons. You got to remember, KD, my gosh, KD is, 26? Russell is mm-hmm. 25? They're still babies, but they're veterans. It's unbelievable, the incredible talent in this league. And how about that really young guy who's playing with the Lakers right now, that young guy named Kobe Bryant, who's leading for every naysayer out there, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you're eating crow.
We'll talk to you again real soon. Thank you so much, Nancy.
Thank you.
Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR. Yes, good evening and welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. It is time now to preview the Big Ten Championship on Saturday with the Ohio State Buckeyes as they face the Wisconsin Badgers. We have invited back from the Columbus Dispatch, Bill Rabinowitz, to provide some perspective on the big matchup. Of course, Bill is joining us on our Stuart Cadillac guest line. Stuart Cadillac, real people, real value, real simple. How are you, Bill?
I'm good, Liz. How are you?
Hey, it's always nice to hear your voice and to have you back with us on this Friday night. So let's get right to it. Okay, the Buckeyes and the Badgers, it is without a doubt, I will be watching. It's going to be an intriguing matchup. Ohio State, an 11-1 record, despite all the adversity. I mean, what a season and how it has unfolded. You just have to continue to tip your hat to Urban Meyer and his staff. I mean, they've just done an outstanding job. But how do you think Ohio State, how are they going to be able to overcome the loss of J.T. Barrett?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. J.T. Barrett, of course, replaced Braxton Miller, and the Buckeyes, after an early stumble against Virginia Tech, were fine. The problem for Ohio State is they can't afford a stumble with Cardale Jones at quarterback because this is for all the marbles. Even if Ohio State wins this game, it's not necessarily going to get them into the college football playoff. I think that Cardale Jones has to play well to show the committee that Ohio State is worthy of being one of the top four teams. So they're kind of, it's a two-pronged battle. They have to win, which would not be easy anyway, because Wisconsin's very good, and Cardale Jones has to kind of play the part.
Well, you have followed this program so closely. In terms of the Buckeyes, I mean, how do you see this playing out for them? Because all eyes are going to be watching.
Yeah, I don't think they're kind of going to go into a shell offensively. Cardale Jones actually has a better arm than J.T. Barrett. He's a big guy, 6'5", 250. He can run. The only issue that he has, well, one is obviously experience and just timing with receivers and all that kind of stuff. And he's not the most accurate guy. At least he hasn't been in the times that we've seen him. So he has to play with his fundamentals, his footwork, all that kind of stuff. And the other big key for Ohio State is they're not going to stop Melvin Gordon, but they can't let him run wild. If he's going to get probably 150 yards, that's kind of the baseline. If he goes over 200 yards, then that's going to be a problem for Ohio State.
Hey, Bill Rabinowitz is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, one of our favorite Midwest guys. Of course, he's with the Columbus Dispatch and released an amazing read and a book I really want to encourage all of our listeners, especially with the holidays here, to go out and get a copy of it. It is titled Buckeye Rebirth. It was released a year ago. But tell us some more about the third string quarterback in Cardale Jones. I mean, as you were talking about him, he's got incredible, he's got a cannon for an arm. I just, as one can only imagine, all the emotions that he's trying to probably process and go through. I mean, this is such a huge game in front of him. I mean, he's not only taken over for JT Barrett, but he's getting his first career start in the biggest game of the season. I mean, you talk about overwhelming.
Yeah, it could be, but I don't think he's kind of your standard third-string quarterback. He actually was the first-string quarterback throughout the spring and through most of the summer, and they changed the JT Barrett before Braxton Miller got hurt. The primary backup, not because he was doing anything wrong from what they've said, but just that the offense just moved a little bit better under JT. And so they decided, okay, JT will be the backup. And then not long after that, Braxton Miller hurt his shoulder again, and then it was the JT show, and he just took it and ran with it. So it's not as if they don't have confidence in Cardale Jones. It's just that he was the unfortunate one who was slightly behind the other guy when it mattered. And so this is obviously a huge responsibility, a huge opportunity. It's everything. But this is why you come to Ohio State if you're a quarterback. You come for games like this. And from all accounts, he's studied very hard. He's taking this very seriously. He's determined to play well. And he has all the physical tools. There's no question about that. Physically, he's a more gifted guy than JT Barrett. But again, it's just so difficult to step in without any of that starting experience and say, in a game of this magnitude, and just be flawless. And it's going to be an interesting game. I think Ohio State is I think people lose sight sometimes when a player's lost. Everything's over. Well, Ohio State still has really good players, and they've got enough of a supporting cast around Cardale Jones that they can make his life a lot easier.
What's been your impressions of Cardale? Have you spent any time around him? I mean, because you just have to wonder how he will react to this type of environment.
A little bit of time. I can't say I know him very well. He's always got a smile on his face, very, very happy-go-lucky guy. I did a profile that ran in Thursday's paper at dispatch.com if people want to check it out.
Okay, sure.
I talked to his high school coach, Ted Ginn Sr., the father of Ted Ginn Jr., a legendary coach in the Cleveland area. And he was very encouraging about Cardale's chances. He said, people are going to be shocked. This guy's going to be ready to play. He's known him all his life, basically. So the people that know him best, and that was kind of the gist of the story, the people that know him best are very confident that he will be up to the challenge.
Okay, I know many times we've talked about just how closely you have covered Urban Meyer's program. He obviously got JT Barrett up to par, but how do you think that he's going to prepare Cardale as he gets ready for this first game? What's his message to him?
I think his message to him is going to be embrace the moment. You are here. You were brought here for this reason. We think you're ready. It wasn't as if we didn't have confidence in you and we picked JT. It's just that he was slightly ahead of you at the time. And this is your moment. Go seize it. I think that's what Urban Meyer is going to say to him. I also think in terms of the game plan, I think that they'll do what they can early in the game to make him comfortable, give him some easy passes, get his confidence going. But I don't think they're going to tear down the playbook at all. If anything, in some ways, they could expand it because he's got a phenomenal arm. I mean, he can make all the throws. Whether they want him to make all the throws in this game will depend on the circumstances. But it's not as if they fall behind 10 points, the game's over because Cardale Jones can't throw the ball. It's just going to be managing the game. I think it's going to be really important for Ohio State to manage the game well.
Bill Rabinowitz is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And so what I understand in terms of with Cardale Jones, I mean, in terms of his background, I mean, he's actually been a part of this program longer than JT Barrett. Is that true?
Yeah, he's a redshirt sophomore. So, he's been in the program. This is his third year. He's played a little bit, but really not in any kind of significant way. Last year, he was the third-string guy behind, obviously, Braxton Miller and Kenny Guyton. He he got into some hot water as a freshman. He was immature then, and he put out this tweet that basically said, you know,
oh, that's right, yes.
You know, the infamous tweet where he said, you know, why am I in school? I'm here to play football. And the interesting thing is that he's a scholar athlete in terms of you need to be a 3.0 student to be a scholar athlete at Ohio State. And so he is a good student. It's not as if he's a dumb guy. I think it was just a 19-year-old or 18-year-old, however old he was at the time, being a knucklehead. You know, I'm glad I didn't have Twitter. Twitter wasn't around when I was that age, because I would probably said stuff too. So from everything that I've heard, that's not really reflective, certainly of who he is now. He has matured since then in all ways. But even then, it wasn't necessarily reflective of who he was.
Okay, so we've already highlighted the quarterback situation. Talk to me, Bill. Talk to me about the defensive challenges and how in the world do you stop running back Melvin Gordon?
Yeah, that's a huge challenge because Ohio State's run defense has not been as airtight as it usually is. Last year, their defensive problems were really against the pass. They were pretty good against the run. This year, they've been pretty shaky at times, especially against good running backs and good teams. And obviously, Wisconsin is both. Melvin Gordon's obviously a great running back. They have a big, very talented offensive line. They have to be very gaps down. They have to game tackle. They have to take the right angles. Ohio State's really not been gashed too much on kind of consistent 10, 15-yard runs. It's been the occasional huge run. Tevin Coleman had a 90-yard run for Indiana and then a 52-yard run. Other teams have had kind of big runs. They have to really just make sure that each player maintains his responsibility and doesn't try to do too much and stays in his lane.
We have got you set and ready for the Big Ten Championship with the Buckeyes and the Badgers on Saturday. Of course, Bill Rabinowitz has been with us from the Columbus Dispatch. Always does a fabulous job. We want to encourage you to go online and check out his work. And we will look forward to talking to you again real soon. Thank you so much, Bill.
My pleasure. It's always nice to be on with you.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio. Yes, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, as we guide you through the fastest 2 hours in radio. And before we get underway with our next interview, we want to direct you to our Twitter handle, at eRadioSports, and you can always listen on our mobile app. Check it out at yahoosportsradio.com. The college football conversation, it does continue tonight, and we're going to focus on one of the most successful college football coaches of all time. As head coach from 1966 to 2011, Joe Paterno led Penn State to 5 undefeated seasons, 2 national championships, and was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2007. The Sandusky scandal obscured many of these accomplishments in just one moment, and the memory of a man was altered. Tonight, we have invited Jay Paterno, the son of Joe Paterno, who has released his new book. It is titled Paterno Legacy, Enduring Lessons from the Life and Death of My Father. Of course, Jay is joining us on the Stuart Cadillac guest line. Stuart Cadillac, real people, real value, real simple. It's your first time on the show. Good evening, Jay. It's nice to have you with us.
Good to be here.
Okay, so very strong reviews, and it is indeed a compelling read, over 350 pages, and documents your father's life, I think, beyond the scandal. I mean, it focuses on his legacy of a great educator, a coach, father, a grandfather. But it's important, I think, for the listeners to understand, Jay, that you took a bold approach. I mean, you didn't ignore the scandal that overshadowed your father's accomplishments, right?
No, in fact, I'm not naive. I understand there are people that, for them, that's the last thing they remember about his life. So I wanted to put that right up front in the first full chapter. It's called The Elephant in the Room. And it addresses it head on and aggressively. That way people can get that out of their mind and really focus on the kind of life that he lived and the kind of relationship he had with his own children, his grandkids, his players, his coaches, and some of the other people. So I wanted to get that out of the way right away in the book. So I would shy away from it because there's nothing to shy away from.
You know, Jay, what led you to write this book? I mean, because it seemed like you were really on a mission to change the narrative and that public perception and to try to set the record straight and to get it right.
Well, it started when this whole story broke. You know, it became pretty apparent very early on that we were in the middle of something that was really beyond sports and really beyond anything anybody had really kind of gone through. And so I kept some notes in real time, and with the idea that I would kind of write a book about those 7 or 8 days after the story broke through the end of the first game after my dad had been fired. And then I realized that if I was going to write a book that had anything to do with my dad, I didn't want it just to be about that part of his life. I wanted to really share what he had done for so many people for so many years. So that's really what kind of led to writing the book.
The book was released in September. Do you feel like you're achieving that goal? I mean, what kind of feedback are you getting from some of the Penn State fans and from the folks that have read the book?
Well, a lot of the Penn Staters have said, you know, thank God somebody finally wrote the truth about Penn State, because the story, and about Joe Paterno, but, you know, I felt like that there was a side of the story that had not been told yet, and a lot of people are glad to see that. And a lot of the people that, I've gotten a lot of great feedback from people that had nothing to do with Penn State, who read the book simply because they were curious and came away getting a better feel for the kind of father he was, because it's really not a book about, you know, Joe Paterno was born in Brooklyn, New York in 1926.
Right.
It's really a relationship. It's a relationship book. You know,
right.
It's not that kind of biography where you go, he did this, and then he went to school here, and he did this. It's really a first-person narrative from me, a guy who grew up in his house, a guy who played on his team, a guy who coached with him, and really got a chance to see a lot of those things in the first person. So, you know, one of the first things I did when I had the first draft done was give it to a friend of my wife's, and she was not a Penn Stater, not a football fan. She had taught English, and she read it and said, yeah, I couldn't put it down. I took that as a good sign. This is not just a book for football fans or just Penn State fans.
Jay Paterno, the son of Joe Paterno, is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We want to hear from you. Join us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. Of course, Jay is joining us. He's talking about the new book that's been released, Paternal Legacy, Enduring Lessons from the Life and Death of My Father. It is a definitive biography on your dad. Share with the listeners in terms of the layout of the book, because I have to assume, and sometimes I ask authors that write real in-depth books, I mean, was it a bit overwhelming to figure out what is going to be the starting point in terms of chronicling your father's incredible career?
Well, I think the thing for me was not necessarily what to put in, but what to take out, because there are so many stories, and his life was so big. I mean, here's a guy that was at state dinners at the White House with four or five different presidents, a guy who met seven or eight presidents, all the way from Kennedy through Obama. So, I mean, this is a guy that had lived a very, very big life, and what do you take out? But what I wanted to do was talk about, you know, the first real section of the book is what he was like at home as a father, as a grandfather, mm-hmm. and then I kind of transitioned to what my relationship was like with him when I was in the team and as a coach, and then obviously we get into, the last two or three months of his life, before we come back around to the last 7 or 8 years of him, which really kind of, he reascended. You know, we had a couple of down years, but the last 7 years of his career, Penn State was right back where it had always been. You know, the last 7 years of his career, we had the sixth best record in the country, and we were the only school in the country to graduate over 77% of our players and win 77% of our games, to exceed those benchmarks. So, really kind of end on a really positive note as relates to him. And then I go back and talk about the several months after he had died and what those months were like for me. So really, it's in very different, distinct sections. But like I said, the toughest part was what you take out.
Jay Paterno is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. The title of the book is Paterno Legacy, Enduring Lessons from the Life and the Death of My Father. And, you know, your dad, Joe Paterno, had incredible success as a football coach. But the one thing I took away from is that football, it really didn't define who your dad was.
Absolutely not. I think that's a great point to make. I mean, he was a guy that, over the course of his life at Penn State, helped raise, you know, he and my mother would have dinners after the games, and those dinners, the people that came to those dinners ended up donating in excess of $1 billion to Penn State. Not a million, a billion. Predominantly to academics, predominantly to buildings, predominantly to programs that were not related to athletics. Some of it was athletic related, obviously, but the vast majority of it was not. So, you know, he wanted to make this place a lot better, but he also gave his time to so many other efforts. But, you know, what I think the thing I hope people get out of this is really, as you said, football did not define him. It was just simply the medium he chose to paint his masterpieces in his life And I think that's going to come through to people who read the book. It'll come through loud and clear.
Mm-hmm. And Jay, you know, you've seen your father on so many different angles. I've heard you say, you know, as a coach, father, you were a player and you know, spent 17 years on your dad's staff. What do you miss the most about your dad?
Oh, I think I miss the most probably just being able to pick up the phone or drop by the house and mm-hmm. ask his advice on things. And I think that's true with everybody that's lost a father, because, you tend to, or a mother or any kind of a figure in your life that you look up to and you respect, because there's things in life where, they come at you, whether it's my own kids or certainly after my dad was gone and going through what we're going through. With all the other things, you know, having two middle school kids, I would love to have gotten advice on how to handle some of the things that we dealt with. And that's what I think I miss the most. But ultimately, you have to go back and you have to rely on the lessons he taught you. And those are what's really carried me through. And I think a lot of those lessons will be very relevant to a lot of people as they read the book.
Jay, how is your mom doing?
Very well. You know, we've had a lot of success and a lot of positive decisions as it relates to the lawsuits with the NCAA as of late. So the momentum's really in our favor. The truth's coming out. You know, the emails and discovery that's become public have shown that, you know, the free report, which was used to really vilify my, this program and Penn State, it's shown that was a report that was written with a predetermined outcome. And that there was a lot of cooperation. In fact, the NCAA and Free were hand in hand on this thing to really create a narrative that would allow them to sanction Penn State and really cast Penn State in a very negative light. So she's really taken a lot of solace in the fact that truth is emerging and that at some point everyone's going to see it.
We are short on time. The title of the book is Paterno Legacy, Enduring Lessons from the Life and the Death of My Father. We've been visiting with Jay Paterno. It is such an honor to have you on the show this evening. I promise I've got your number, and we will huddle up. We'll talk again real soon. So much more that I want to get into in regards to your dad's life. Thank you so much, Jay.
Thanks so much. It was great to be on.
That, of course, was Jay Paterno, son of Joe Paterno, the new book that he's just released, Paterno Legacy, Enduring Lessons from the Life and Death of My Father. We want to take time to thank all of our amazing guests, our lineup tonight, Nancy Lieberman, Basketball Hall of Famer and analyst with the Oklahoma City Thunder, Bill Rabinowitz from the Columbus Dispatch, Lou Sahadi talking about Clemson, 100 things Clemson fans should know and do before they die, our very own Andy Pondillo does a great job for us each and every week as our producer, and Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. Remember, the holidays are here. Don't you dare drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports right here at Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Save big money on your kitchen projects at Menards. We carry everything you need to turn your kitchen dreams into reality. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, get 15% off everything you can fit in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Get organized and save big money with Dakota Closets at Menards. Dakota Closets can be installed in any room, from home offices and laundry rooms to walk-in or reach-in closets. Use the You Create Closet Planner, available in-store or online, to design a Dakota closet system that maximizes your space and matches your style. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.